Hey everybody, what's going on? Bay Ragney here. You're tuning in for another episode of the Rock and Ragney Show. Coming up on my next interview, we have Michael Grant, former LA Guns guitarist, now of Michael Grant and the Assassins, where we get to speak all about the new album, Always a Villain. Plus, we talk a little bit, we talk a lot about the whole LA Guns situation, the pandemic and everything else. But before we get into the interview, I got to tell you, this episode and every episode on Totally Driven Radio, Totally Driven Entertainment, Rock and Ragney Show, is all brought to you by our friends at Next Home Brandywine. That's right, Next Home Brandywine in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Check them out, Dan Pizzi and his team of professional realtors. They are going to provide you guidance, knowledge, and information if you're a buyer or seller. Go to nexthomebrandywine.com. for details and to contact an agent. They service Philly and the surrounding areas, but it doesn't matter if you're from Philly or not. They can help you nationwide. They're going to refer you to the right office to help you be able to sell or buy your new home. Be sure to ask for the NH5 listing special. You can call Dan and his team direct at 484-364-4862. That's 484-364-4862, or just go to nexthomebrandywine.com. And don't forget to mention that Totally Driven Radio sent you. And without further ado, here he is. Is he a villain? Is he an assassin? Is he a hero? Let's find out. Michael Grant.
The one and only Mr. Michael Grant.
Hello, Bay.
That's me, man. How the hell you doing, dude?
Doing very well. Thank you very much. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, man. Not as good as you, though, because I don't have this amazing album I'm ready to release.
Well, thank you very much, man. Have you had a chance to listen to the whole album?
I have. Like, I was listening to that, like, as I get ready for my interviews, that's what I do. Like, I get tuned into the music and focus and you know, get into it. And what an amazing freaking album, man. Seriously. No BS. You put out an album, or you're about to release an album, that I should say, you covered the bases, because not only is it a great rock and roll album, but it's catchy, it's got the hooks, and it's so radio friendly on top of it, which is rare to say.
Thank you. Yeah.
Was this something like you've been working on it for a while? Like, while you were still in LA Guns, or was it something that, like, after the whole LA Guns thing happened, like, you were like, all right, it's time to focus now on this?
A couple years before LA Guns, I was already kind of formulating Michael Grant and the Assassins, and so I had a couple tracks from that time, but I would say 80% of the album is new and fresh and written right about when I split from LA Guns.
Wow. That's awesome. Were you inspired because of what happened to really shine?
Definitely. I think it was a catalyst. There's definitely a lot of pressure, you know, right off the bat. And, I think everybody wanted me to release something that was in the vein of where I'd come from.
Right.
Unbeknownst to them, I had no interest in, you know, even playing the same genre once I'd quit or once I'd left the band. So it wasn't everything, but it was definitely a proponent in the equation.
Now, is it all, I know your old LA Gun bandmate, Shane, Fitzsimmons played drums on it, on a lot of the tracks. Was it just you playing on all the album, or was there other, who are the actual Assassins?
In the studio, it's just me. So
okay.
All encompassing. But, on, four or five of the tracks, Shane Fitzgibbon played drums on. He was gracious enough to, grace my album with his drumming prowess, and he did an amazing job. And, he's always an assassin, whether he's in the band or not. But we got Pat Ty Groves on bass. He's been a mainstay for the past few years, and using a gentleman named Nick Mason on drums for touring. And we'll see about, you know, in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's like the whole crazy thing now with the whole, you know, pandemic and the world kind of shut down. You know,
hell of a time to release an album, bro.
Yeah, right? Like, you know, it's like kind of good and bad, because it's good because you get to do all the promo and all that fun stuff for it, but on the flip side, you don't get to do the live show.
Yeah, that's everything. I'm definitely craving that energy. And I'm sure a lot of my friends and my friends in other bands, they're feeling it too. I'm sure they're feeling that same kind of itch and dying to play shows and dying to tour and dying for that fan interaction. It's something I miss very much.
Have you thought about doing like the whole live stream thing that so many bands are doing?
I thought about it. There's I'm open to it, and I'm definitely not shunning it or anything. It's something that partially disinterests me, but sometimes it's needed to be done.
Sure, sure. Even like I saw on the Facebook page, you know, you do an acoustic version of the first single. And it sounded amazing acoustics. I was wondering, like,
Thank you.
even just you and an acoustic guitar, you know, banging out a couple of the tunes.
I think that would be the most feasible for what's going on right now. That's most likely to happen. That
right.
kind of thing. I do have like a Zoom video planned for a live performance of Red Light Run in the future.
Cool.
Yeah, everything else, it's all online. We have a video for Nightmares coming out soon. Very soon, I think, with the album drop, Nightmares is coming out.
Now, how about the second single that came out, Anthems of Us? Are you going to do a video for that one or no?
I don't know. It's tricky making videos right now is the problem. You know,
right.
Getting a crew together and, you know, operating as you normally would. If we do a video, it might be some kind of, you know, guerrilla style piece together kind of monstrosity of a video. So, you know, cause it's just hard to get, you know, a crew together, all the components that go into making a video right now. It's kind of frowned upon.
how weird is that, right?
Yeah, it's like everything is affected. So it's tricky navigating through it, but we're doing the best we can.
Now how weird is, I mean, all this for you that now, like, where it's you, it's your band, you're the boss. I know that you were pretty much, you know, the band you were in before LA Guns and thereafter. I mean, it sounds like you were kind of that focal point too there, but how is it from going, you know, from being in LA Guns for 5 years where, you know, where Phil and Steve were kind of the focal point then, and now it's
right.
like everything's on you. It's your project, your baby. You got to, like, call the shots and make the final say on things. Do you like it that way? Is it a lot different?
I love it. But heavy lies the crown, you know?
Right.
But I love it. It's something I've always wanted. And, you know, I'm happy that I get to have it again with Michael Grant and the Assassins. And I love being my own boss.
It is a beautiful thing, right?
Yeah. No one's telling me what not to do. I just do whatever the hell I want.
Now, the one thing I will say, like, I'm sure you're getting asked all the LA Guns stuff naturally.
Right.
So I saw you play with LA Guns a few years ago in Delaware. I used to live in Philly, and now I'm here in Nashville. But I saw you guys play in Delaware, and you did an amazing version of Purple Rain that absolutely floored me. And
thank you, man.
I was wondering, like, did you think about maybe doing a cover of that for your act?
You know, Frontiers doesn't do covers. They don't really do.
Really?
Too much. Yeah, I actually wanted to cover like, I had a pretty different version of Tears for Fears Shout, and I know that Disturbed covered it, but mine didn't sound anything like Disturbed. And I wanted to cover it for this album, and I submitted it, and they were like, nah, no covers. We can't do covers. It's got to be, you know, all original. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever. I got enough songs.
Wow. I never realized that.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard some other bands do covers, but for some reason for me, they were not down with the cover being on my record.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. I thought so too.
So going into the whole LA Guns thing, like, it you know, when you were fired, like,
mm-hmm.
it seems like not only were you kind of, like, surprised, but the whole musical world of LA Guns fans was kind of shocked and surprised.
Oh, absolutely. I think everybody was surprised. I kind of saw the shit coming. You know, I'm very perceptive that way on people's vibes, and I could just feel the hate brewing, you know.
Wow.
And I think it had to happen, and it's a good thing it happened. Otherwise, we wouldn't have Always a Villain.
This is true. Yeah. But it seems like Tracy was like, he kind of took the high road and just threw, like, it was all about Phil.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think everyone knows it was just Phil.
Yeah.
Tracy, you know, when it happened, he was just like, he was floored himself. And I remember him saying, you know, Phil can be so short-sighted, something. Yes, and I think he thought I would be like really broken up about it, and I was like, no, it's cool, bro, it's all good. And I told him I'm gonna be all good. And you know, me and Tracy Guns parted in a very friendly, more than amicable, loving way. You know,
nice.
We're still friends to this day. So,
has you know, if Tracy's heard any of your music that's come out so far, or any of the other guys, or?
Well, we're label mates, so I'm sure it's been shoved down his throat in one way or another. But he's actually already shown some support. Like I saw that he reposted our video for Red Light Run, so I know he's heard Red Light Run, and you know, that was super sweet of him. Very, very grateful that he's got our back.
Yeah, I've interviewed Tracy quite a few times, and I've had some of the most amazing conversations with that dude. I love that dude.
Oh, he's a lovely human being. I love him.
Yeah, man.
That's my boy. That's always my boy.
When the whole thing happened, when Phil started doing shows with Tracy, did you expect him to, you know, that whole thing happened where you guys joined forces?
I'm sure it was, you know, in the peripherals, for sure.
Yeah. Now, how about when Steve recently put together his own version of the band? Did he reach out to you at all to be part of that, or?
Yeah, I feel really bad because he reached out to me a few times and I didn't call him back. And it wasn't out of disrespect. It was just, I knew Steve can be a very persuasive guy.
Right.
And he could get you to do stuff that you normally wouldn't get just by talking. And I just didn't want to indulge that because I wanted to retain my focus on Michael Grant and the Assassins. And it was right when I was, you know, writing and recording and doing all this new music. And he asked me to do, M3 Festival and a string of other dates. But I just knew that if I went down that road, I would have once again put Michael Grant and the Assassins
to the side,
on the back burner, and went and go make some money. And I had to find it within myself to hopefully not disrespectfully. I just, you know, respectfully kind of like decline. And I mean, no disrespect to Steve Riley. I love Steve Riley. He's a fucking awesome guy. But I just was not interested in being in any form of LA Guns, be it the first edition or the second edition or, you know, side A, side B. I don't know how they're working it out right now.
Yeah, I mean, beside the fact of, yeah, like, I was thinking, I tell them, like, I doubt, like you said, like, you want to finally put the focus on you and your music and not get, especially in that, like, that's really going to get to be an ugly situation between the two versions, and you don't need to be in the middle.
Oh, yeah. I am so not interested in being in any band soap opera right now, man. Like, not even my own. I want to keep mine all chill, you know, like,
right.
And, you know, I've been asked to join many people's soap operas, dude, and I guess, no thanks.
But that's got to be hard, too, like, where it's other bands to kind of turn down, you know, the paydays at time.
It's been definitely been hard to turn down some of these gigs because they do offer, you know, a good chunk of change.
Right.
But at some point, you got to gamble on yourself.
Right. Yeah, I guess now is the time for you to be the villain. and
exactly.
Look out for number one.
Exactly. Always.
So is Michael Grant, is he the villain or is he an assassin? What is he?
He's both. You know, with everybody is multifaceted, as am I. And I am definitely a villain. And I'm definitely a hero. And I'm definitely, you know, the love interest. And, you know, all of it.
You got that cape flowing pretty good over there, Batman.
Yeah, in this Always the Villain movie, I'm cast as every, you know, every character. Drums, bass, guitar, vocals. I'm That's Josie funny. And the Pussycats.
Yeah, right? There you go. There you go. I mean, again, going back to the whole pandemic situation and all, do you have any, is there any shows booked at all or no?
Right now it's just kind of like prospective dates that have not been confirmed and, nothing right now in the books. No.
It's such a crazy time, man.
It's so crazy, man. And I mean, when you have bands like Guns N' Roses and Metallica and Rolling Stones, like the most, you know, gigantic bands on the planet just canceling like a year's worth of dates makes things a little bleak. You know, I know Smashing Pumpkins just canceled like their dates for this entire year. So, I mean, and I know some places are kind of taking a chance and whatnot, but with me being a new father, I'm not taking any chances really.
Oh, nice. Congrats to you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Nice. Cool. So, all right. So, the album comes out, what is it, July 11th, I think it is?
July 10th.
By 10th?
Comes out. Yeah, very soon.
Yeah. So, I guess the plan now is just to keep doing the interviews and the promo and pumping it out there.
That's pretty much it. We have a Asian tour in the works for 2021.
Nice.
Hopefully we'll hit Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, China, and wherever other territories we can get our feet to land on.
Nice. You got to be super stoked and happy though too that you know, like Red Light Run, I saw earlier. I mean, it's closing in on 250,000 views. The video for
I'm very stoked about that, and it was incredibly unexpected. And you know, I recorded this album in my home studio. I've been kind of stuck in my own little world for months, and you kind of live in your own little bubble and your own little fishbowl. You don't know what's going on outside in the world and how it's going to be received. And when it gets received as well as it has, it's a very rewarding surprise. Like I was shocked. I did not expect that. But I'm happy that it is that. And I'm so like grateful for people's support and for people digging what they hear so far. And I'm hoping that they feel just as, just as enthusiastic about the rest of the album when it comes out.
It seemed like it's funny because it seemed to me like when it first came out, like everybody was like, yeah, yeah, they were totally digging it. And it was like a surprise. There was truly a surprise to it. It seemed like to me, the total vibe, like almost like people like didn't have faith in it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people lost a lot of faith. You know, it took some time, so I think people were kind of feeling a little bleak about the album ever coming out or me ever completing it. And I think it was just a pleasant surprise all around. You know, it was a surprise to me how it was received, and I'm sure it was a surprise to them because it was something so different than they were expecting, but pleasantly, you know?
Right. Right.
I think a lot of people had connotations of how it would sound, or that it would be like the next LA Guns, and it's
right.
Nothing close. So I think that's also a proponent in that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was cool too. Like, this afternoon, a friend of mine who does another podcast, Decibel Geek Podcast, he shared a video out, and he was like, he was crazy. He's like, I'm truly just loving this tune. I can't wait to hear the rest of the album. And I'm like, perfect time.
Awesome.
I'm interviewing Michael tonight.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so everybody's digging
it,
man. So keep smiling, dude. Keep waving
good.
That gate.
Thank you. Thank you very much, bro. Thanks, man.
Absolutely, man. Well, dude, I want to thank you for this, and again, continued success, and I can't wait for everybody to hear the rest of the album like I have, and I know they're going to love it just as much as I am.
Thank you so much, bro, and thank you for supporting us, man. Truly, truly appreciate it.
Absolutely, and hey, you know, when this whole pandemic thing's over, get down to Nashville and rock our asses off.
Oh, you know it, man. I can't wait. I love me some Nashville, bro.
Nice.
The hot chicken over there, the great music scene. I got a lot of friends down that way, so that would be an amazing, amazing thing. I miss Nashville.
Cool. Let's do it.
Hell yeah, man. Well, you have a good one and be safe, brother.
You too, man. Take care.
All right.
All right.
Later.
Bye.